Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Byboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. Welcome back to the Hardwater Fishing Show. We have a really big show for you guys today, and we are super excited to talk about ice fishing. First, we just have to say thanks to everybody that's listening. We have over 350 downloads already on our podcast. That's a lot of people.
It is. We're even starting to get some fan mail from people that have listened to the show and telling us what a wonderful job we're doing, and some inaccurate information about like Jiffy ice augers and such, but for the most part, it's been nice to hear from listeners, and we thank you all for listening. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, that's enough people where it's not just people we know listening, it's other people. So pretty cool. Well, we got to get to the important things first, Jay. I'm assuming you have a beverage.
I do. I am, once again, I'm almost to the bottom of my case, old style. But I'm going with the classic lager again, the old style. So let me crack that bad boy. All right, wonderful.
And I again am boring like you, and I have the Surly. Finally, a Surly beer. My German mother will drink beer. So here's from Minnesota. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, awesome.
All right, so we have a fishing report tonight, Jay.
Awesome. That's good. Can I give an ice report first for Iowa?
Sure, because absolutely. Let's hear about Iowa.
I didn't get to go fishing. I had a day Saturday that I was going to go fishing. And so I went out and checked out some ice on a couple of spots that I like to go. And it was, you know, and this was Saturday. And it was about 2.5 inches. And so not enough for me. Ooh. Not enough for me. So I ended up not fishing. But now they were fishing then on that lake by Sunday and Monday because we went into the deep freeze here. I know it's cold up there too, but we were negative 14 this morning. So we've made some good ice, but Ooh. It's still spotty in places. They're fishing all over Clear Lake, a lot of good ice up on Clear Lake there in northern Iowa, a lot of the farm ponds. But a lot of the ice is still sketchy down here, and we had some snow, and so that's kind of complicated things. A couple of guys I've talked to, like even on the Pleasant Creek where I go down here, lake, they were finding 5, but then they would find some 1 and 2. So it's still careful check as you go Ooh. Down here situation, in my opinion.
1 and 2, yikes. 1 and 2. Whew, I'd be running.
I wouldn't. I'd be rolling.
Well, that's good. I mean, stop, drop, and roll.
Spread the out backstroke. The weight. Yep. So, all right, give me your fishing report.
Eaten that last Twinkie. I shouldn't have eaten that last Twinkie before I went in the
I know. Tell my kids to hold my glove. Well,
I'm glad to hear there's some ice down there. Now, is this one of those Iowa lakes that they built, or is this a real lake that you were on?
This would be a built lake, yeah. The impound, one of the impounds.
A built lake, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Clear Lake is a natural lake. That's right. A natural lake up there.
Yeah, and we fished that together. We fished Clear Lake before. Yep. All right, so I tried out something new, or something old, kind of. I went out with my kids, kind of in preparation of this, but I like to bring my kids out. And I went out to Pelican Lake, which is right by my house here. This is a lake that was really good for many years, and then about 3 or 4 years ago, it froze out. It got open to liberal fishing rules, and I remember seeing pictures of people like filling up buckets and stuff with giant northerns and crappies because the lake was losing oxygen and the fish were dying.
By liberal fishing rules, you don't mean Democrats, right? You just mean they allowed you to catch a lot of fish, because we don't want to bring politics into this show.
No, we're not talking about politics. I'm talking about liberal fishing rules, not liberals in general.
Okay,
right?
good.
I mean,
moving on then.
Yes, these were not any Trump or Barack Obama fish. These were just, you know, just fish that were liberally being taken out of the lake.
There we go. Okay, moving. Good.
So, all right. So I went out there, and I didn't know what to expect because, you know, the lake kind of froze out. But I've been hearing rumors, you know, people out there fishing. And so I pulled up to there's a little spot you can park. And there was three or four cars there. You know, everybody's walking out. They've got it pretty well locked down there because it's actually managed for waterfowl and stuff. So they have a small parking lot, and they make sure you can't bring four-wheelers and ATVs and that kind of stuff back there. So there was a couple cars. So we walked out in the ice, and there was a solid 10 inches of ice out there. I mean, plenty of ice. So, but it was pretty cold. It wasn't like below zero, but even last Saturday it was, you know, 10 to teens in that range. A nice winter day, but kind of cold. And I've got my 6-year-old son and my 10-year-old daughter with me, right? So we were out there fishing, and, you know, we didn't get too far because they were getting cold. So I drilled some holes, and after I kind of drilled some initial ones just to make sure there was enough ice. And, you know, it's not a deep lake, and they drained it. So, I mean, we were only fishing in probably like 6 feet of water, and we really didn't see much. It was just slow. So I talked to some buddies around here, and they said, you know, people have been catching northerns out there, but I didn't see anything. I had a tip about.
So that's my fishing report. Do you plan on going back to Pelican this winter, or are you probably going to cross that one off the list?
No, I think I'm going to go again. I think what I need to do is go without the kids and just be really mobile and troll. You know, sure. With kids, it's tough. You know, you can't, when it's 15 degrees outside, it's hard to troll. And, you know, you want to put up a shack, you want to put up a heater and kind of camp out and fish with the kids. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when your oldest gets a little older, you can just tell him to start drilling until he hits the other shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
Hand them the auger and send them out.
Totally.
Because I know our dads would have done that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was nice, though, because I had the Strike Master out for the first time, and it's missing some plastic parts, right? I think we've covered that before. But, man, I forgot how sweet that thing drills holes. The weekend before, I was using my brother-in-law's, and I can't even remember what brand it was or whatever, but it worked fine. But man, that Strike Master just like cuts through like butter. I just cannot believe.
Nice. Well, that's good. I'm glad it ran well. I mean, and if you want to use it again this year for hard water, we can.
No, I thought, didn't somebody buy a new one or something?
I did, but I'm, as I've also mentioned, I'm always up for using other people's stuff.
No, we always bring the newest gear to make sure we break it in properly.
Well, yours is manufacturer refurbished, so it's actually newer than mine.
Oh, I don't know. Last year it came with a lot of plastic parts missing. Like, it dug a hole in the sled. You had a hole in the bottom of your sled from my ice shack as we drug it across the lake.
Yeah, that's actually on the list of things to fix for next year, for this upcoming year, I guess, season. I got to fix that sled. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
So that's what I know. Oh, one thing about it, I need to buy an ice scoop. I had to use my hands.
You think?
You know, I forgot my ice scoop. I mean, rookie mistake for the second week in a row. It was not a good scene.
Like the scoop to get the ice chunks out of the hole?
Yes. Yes. Like the scoop.
That's kind of tough. So how do you work around that? You just had to be really good with your auger.
Yep. It was good auger. And then my hand a little bit. But, you know.
Then there's not much snow on the ice up there or none, because that'll help.
No, I mean, there's like a hard pack, you know. I mean, we have a couple inches, mm-hmm. but it kind of hard packs, and it's pretty much part of the ice. So
that's good. You weren't getting the slush in the hole then so bad.
No. Uh-uh.
All right.
So that's the fishing
report.
Should we
move on to current events?
Current events, absolutely. So, I just sit here and look at Facebook all day and look at all these gigantic fish being caught. So that's kind of cool. I mean, I'm glad other people are catching fish. I wish I was, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, they are. There's the Facebook pages now have lit up with all the folks out catching fish and talking about the ice. And so that's definitely, if you're inside working or unable to fish, you can look at all what everybody else is doing. But you know, you don't believe everything you see on the internet either, folks. And
I thought everybody like caught 30-inch walleyes every time.
Well, but if you see Jeff on the internet with a big fish, I would definitely ask for like a certificate of authenticity for the photo before I would believe that it's truth. So just throwing that out there, because Photoshop is an interesting thing. You can do a lot with that. Jeff is a computer genius, so I have no doubt that he would be able to manipulate a photo.
If you went to the Hardwater main page, I mean, that picture is absolutely true. It was no Photoshopping involved in that whatsoever.
Well, that picture of me was taken in Florida on the beach, so I don't know how you got it in there.
I don't know. On the beach, yeah. All right. Anyways.
So, yeah, lots of fish being caught. Check your ice depths when you're out there. In Minnesota, you're probably getting to be okay on a lot of it, but even some of your bigger lakes. Down here where the things tend to stay open is where you have geese or ducks or stuff floating around in the water, flapping.
Yeah.
It tends to keep the water open longer. So
absolutely.
Just be safe. I don't want to open up the paper or turn on the electronic news and hear about somebody getting killed out there. So just be safe.
Yeah, it's been rough this year. I mean, there's been a lot of... I mean, they said it's a record year for deaths out there. There's been 5 people who died out in the ice this year. So, yeah, be careful.
Yeah,
so I wanted to give a walleye cake update. So I made walleye cakes for
I've been wondering Christmas. About this all week. How'd it go?
Yeah, so it was pretty good. You know, pretty much it's like a crab cake. It's just walleye cakes instead. And so it turned out good. Not so bad.
Yeah. So are you going to post the recipe to the blog?
Yeah, I'll get the recipe or the link to the recipe. It was from Minnesota Bound Recipe, and I grabbed it from there. So we'll put a link to it. It's pretty good. It took a little more time than I expected. You're supposed to chill it overnight. I didn't realize that till the next day, so chilling didn't happen.
So you altered the recipe a bit.
Yeah, but you know, that's to be expected. All right. So
and did everybody eat it or what?
Yeah, everybody ate it, and it was good. It was good. I didn't win. I didn't win the trophy. We have a family traveling trophy. Surprisingly enough, my brother-in-law brought crab cakes, and his were better than my walleye cakes. But I think his just looked prettier. But that's okay. So
okay.
So I talked to the bro. It was all at Cabela's last week.
Yeah, you were gonna talk to us about that. Now, I don't know if everybody knows who Brian Bro is, but he's quite a big deal when it comes to fishing, and he does some guiding and different stuff, and he's done some guest hosting on Midwest Outdoors and in Fisherman, and he's been on a lot of the different stuff. You need to get him on our show.
He did. Jeff. I talked to him, and he did agree to be on our show, but he just wanted to wait until. Maybe the beginning of the ice season simmered down a bit. He was doing like a mini store tour, like daily different stores. And he said, you know, give me a call back in like January or something, and I'll hop on there. So we'll get him on.
Cool. Well, he that'd be awesome. We could do a little interview with him.
So that he said he would do phenomenal. That. He said he was really busy right now with, you know, beginning of the ice season, but he said he hadn't even really been fishing when I talked to him last week, but I think he got up out this weekend. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. So, what did he tell you? What were his nuggets of wisdom?
So, you know, of course, he's kind of sponsored by Hummingbird, and he's sponsored by Northland Tackle. So, he had some of that stuff out, and I really like that Helix 5. Hummingbird depth finder GPS thing. It's pretty cool. But it was funny. He's, you know, selling the stuff, but the first thing he brings me over to where they have those ice picks, you know, the ones you wear around your neck, the orange ones that you, if you fall through, you can use them to claw your way back out of the ice hole. And he just said, hey, do me a favor, talk about your podcast. Make sure people are being careful and that they're bringing out these ice picks because we've had too many people go through the ice. So that was the first thing he talked about with me.
That's interesting that he, as we are, was really focused on safety and saying, hey, watch the hype. Make sure you bring out ice picks to be safe. And I actually have a custom pair of ice picks made by our good friend Ole that he gave to all of us one year that I do bring out every year. I bring them out with me.
I've had mine out.
I've never had to use them, thank goodness.
This year has been tough. So that was his message he wanted to give. And then we also talked about they have these new UV glow jigs. They bought a couple, kind of like a spoon, and you put these little like glow things on them and put them down the hole. So I'll have to try those out.
Do you remember that year you guys, I forget where we were going. It might have even been Mille Lacs. And I call up there, I'm like, what's the hot lure, guys? Because I'm heading north and I'll stop at Cabela's. And you guys said, bring glow jigs. And I'm like, I'm on it. So I go to Cabela's and I'm looking around and I see this end cap of stuff that says glow jigs. And so I'm like, cool. And they're like $8 a piece. They're really expensive. And that was quite a few years ago. So it was a lot of money. And I get up there and you guys all looked at me like I was nuts because I had these blinking glow jigs. Remember these things? They were battery operated. They took little tiny watch batteries. You hit the button and they'd blink. And you know how many fish I caught on those?
How many?
None.
None. Wow.
So glow jigs, we're talking the fluorescent things that light up when you put light on them, right? There's no batteries involved.
No batteries involved. No batteries involved. Well, I'll put up a picture.
That's good.
But yeah, no batteries. So.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, the only other update I think I have from current events is I have seen some half-ton pickup trucks on the ice. So I was over in Forest Lake this weekend. My parents live over there, and there was a ice castle with a half-ton pickup truck parked out there. So there must be some good ice somewhere. So
I don't know.
I do not condone it. I'm just saying I saw a pickup truck on the ice, a half-ton pickup truck. So
yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what I've got for current events.
So you have a gear update as well, huh?
Yeah, we got some gear update. I mean, you know, you go out, you use your gear, and you got to get some gear updates. So the first thing is that Eskimo Ice Anchor Adapter Tool. So I got that a couple years ago. Had that out this weekend with the kids. I had to put the shack up and brought my drill. And, you know, it didn't work that great. And it wasn't really the clam adapter tool. It's not the clam. It's an Eskimo. The Eskimo adapter tool's problem.
Yeah. The Eskimo one.
Yeah, the Eskimo one. It's red and actually looks a lot better than the clam one, I think. The clam one's plastic and kind of looks kind of wimpy. But I bought it last year. But the problem is I bent some of my anchors because that thing's pretty powerful. You know, the drill, and it bent them up when I put them in last year. And I don't know. And then they flop all over. I mean, you know, try to put a bent screw in with a drill. It kind of makes a life not easy.
Do you think it's because you're trying to use the clam anchors with the Eskimo tool?
I never thought about that, but could be. Could be. Huh.
I mean, I'm just spitballing here. That maybe Eskimo designed their tool to work with the Eskimo anchors.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, because mine are kind of bent up now. So, I mean, this is not a video thing, but you can see, like, I've got a big whack on my hand from it. So that kind of hurts, you know. It's never fun when it's cold and you get hit by it. And then my battery ran out of juice anyways. So all in all, it wasn't a great anchor experience, which is pretty typical of those anchors. So that's why I'm trying that speed
and
wrench.
Your drill. Tell us about that.
So I got the speed wrench. I bought a Harbor Freight, and you know, it's just one of those that has a handle and you'd twist it like people use them for putting on, I don't know, bolts on wheels, you know, like lug nuts and stuff. So I was going to try to use that this weekend, but I couldn't quite get it all to work. So I have ordered a Gator. It's called Gator socket that like fits to any end. Have you seen these things? I'll put a link to it, but it's like a socket and it's got a bunch of pins in it, so you can stick it on any size bolt.
Oh yeah.
And then you can kind of wind.
Yep. Craftsman used to make something right. like that too.
Because the problem I have right now is I can't, the end of my Eskimo adapter thing isn't a standard size, so I can't hook it up to any kind of thing. So I'm hoping that I can put the half inch speed wrench to a half inch 3/8 adapter to the Gator, the Gator will connect to anything socket to the Eskimo anchor tool to put it in. And I'm hoping it's not so floppy that it just falls apart.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get, that'll give us something to update next time about how this next contraption of yours works.
I hate having my drill. I really want to do something because I hate trying to put them in my hand. And you've seen these things. If the ice isn't quite right, how hard they are to get in. It's a pain. So,
Yeah. So remember the last time we talked about anchors for these shacks, I had given the idea of a lag bolt and a spring and a washer. And one of our listeners, Ole, he and a good friend of ours, he made a kind of a neat suggestion. He said you should take the rubber band off your minnow bag and you can use that around the lag bolt to help hold the washer on so you don't lose it. So that was a good idea. So I'll give him props for listening and coming up with a constructive idea. So good for him. I think he's angling to get on this show.
Well, we'll have to see.
I think that's what's going on here because he's spending a lot of time making suggestions. So I think he wants to join in the success that we've had. And we may give him that opportunity.
If I was rating my gadgetry and I was ranking mine next to Ole's, I think Ole's going to win. I can put things together, but not like Ole can.
Ranking what? Oh yeah, he's particular. Let's just call him particular.
Sounds good. All right.
But yes. Not in a yeah. Anyway,
but,
moving on.
But I mean, if we created okay. gadgets to put in ice anchors, his would be the best. Probably, it would look the nicest. It would probably be the most engineered.
I would agree. Mine would look like a brick or something I found in the yard. Oh, yeah. It always works.
All right. So moving on. So the other thing I used was I bought this Cabela's auger bag last year because it's kind of nice. I have an SUV, not a pickup truck, and you got this auger with the gas and stuff, and it's kind of a pain. So I actually used it for the first time this weekend. It's kind of nice. I mean, it zips up and the inside of it's kind of a hard plastic. So, you know, it doesn't bead on the inside of the bag and worked pretty good. I really liked it. So
I had bought one last year as well, but I used it last year. The Trophy Angler Ice Deluxe or something. You can buy it off Amazon.
Yep.
For like, I don't know, $40. And you probably get them elsewhere too, but I do a lot of Amazon because I live out in a small town. So, and it's worked really well. I like having the auger bag. It's held up through one season really well so far. I don't know what the price point was on the Cabela's one, but this worked really well for what I have, and it's got zippers and unzips all. I mean, it unzips completely, so it's easy to put it in and out.
Cheap because Cabela's had a pallet of them at the end of the season, and it was insanely cheap. I can't remember what I paid for it, but it was highly discounted. It was like somebody found a pallet of them in the back and went, "Oh crap, we better get rid of these things." And that's what it looked like to me. So I don't know. But yeah, I actually bought this other thing too that I'm really excited to use. It's by Otter. It's this hard plur that goes over the shaft of your, you know, like the auger part of your ice auger. And I don't know, I'll put a link out there. I actually bought it with Dave.
Okay. Does that go in the bag?
It could go in the bag. It doesn't have to. Does that go in the bag then with it? I was thinking more when we're running around on the ice out there, you know how they beat up everything so bad? I was thinking it would be good for just like, because it goes in and out really easy. It's hard plastic.
Sure.
So.
My Uncle Ron's got one of those. Yeah, it's got a handle on it.
Yep. And
you can shove it in the tube and then throw it in your shack so you don't. And I think the advantage is you don't have to put the blade cover on.
I don't think you need the blade cover. I think there's a thing in the bottom.
Right? Can you just shove it in the tube without the blade cover? You got to put the blade cover on.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of a quickness advantage. You just put it in that plastic piece of plastic tube and off you go.
I think that's the Cats.
Yeah, those.
Yes.
I've seen people with those mounted on their four wheelers. You can just
like drive your four wheeler, put it in there.
Snowmobiles.
You know, put it back in next.
Yeah.
You know. So. So I got the, yep. I've got the plastic part. I just need the
four-wheeler. Nothing to unzip or. Just put it. Yeah.
Hey, honey, I have this
requisition in with $40 the Minister of War and Finance thing
for my Ace Auger to hold it in. I need the four-wheeler to go with it.
Yeah, it's an accessory exactly. to the auger carrier. So I think we wanted to talk a little bit tonight, too quick, about lightweight and the things that you think you need to do to take out there, specifically around propane, didn't we? We've been seeing this pop up on some of the forums.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got in this forum because... somebody, and I don't remember who it was saying that they were having problems getting all the gear out, you know, because, I mean, we're early ice, so you can't really bring a lot of machines out, so you're pulling. And he's like, I can't seem to get everything in there. Like, my 20-pound tank doesn't fit. And I said, well, don't bring a 20-pound tank. Bring a 1-pound tank. And, you know, he kind of said, well, but I want to make sure I have some just in case. So, I don't know. I try to go a little lighter weight than that, so.
Well, I think that some of that's a personality type. There's some people that bring more than enough for themselves and 20 other people. And then there's people that don't bring half of what they need. Not that I've ever been guilty right. of that. And then there's people that bring just right. Like, you want to be the just right. And... so, like, when it comes to propane, I mean, if you're hauling a 20-pounder around, you know, really you should, if you've had a heater, I can understand if you're just starting to use a heater, but it makes sense to try yep. to explore how long your heater will last on a 1-pounder if you got a buddy heater or even the Mr. Heater Cooker type style heater, because that is so much just dead weight. And in the smaller shacks, like on the clam, the small clam, the Nanook, the one person shacks, you know, that's a lot. That thing's occupying a lot of real estate. And so maybe have an honest conversation with you about yourself about how long are you going to be out here. You know, if you chunk 3 1-pounders in the bottom of the sled. Have you ever used those refillers for the 20-pounders to 1-pounders?
Yeah, and I think that depends on how I used to try to worry about that stuff, and maybe I'm just whatever, but you know, those, if you buy those 1-pounders on sale, they're a couple bucks a piece, right? You can find them at Fleet Farm for maybe like $3 a piece or something like that. And I don't know, at some point you're just not saving that much, but
yeah. Well, I think it's how many, you know, you use. If you fish right. a lot and you're using, you know, 4 1-pounders a weekend for 5 1-pounders a weekend, I think it makes sense to refill them little suckers. There's a lot of information, and I'm not condoning that or saying you should do that, because it's obviously you're kind of doing something off label. So you definitely want to, you know, do that at your own risk. But there is a lot of information on the internet about how to do that safely and the best way to do it. You know, so some of it's just about how comfortable you are with doing stuff that could possibly blow you up and cause you to be burned beyond recognition.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, I mean, I think with all this stuff, you know, it's what are your preferences? What do you like? What makes you comfortable? I mean, you want to be comfortable out there, right? So I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, because I say I don't want to bring a 20-pound tank out doesn't mean you shouldn't. It just means I wouldn't do it. I mean, if that's what makes you feel comfortable and that's what makes you happy fishing, then go for it.
What I hate about the 20-pounders is, at least in our area, there's only one place that you can get them topped off. So you're sitting there with this 20-pounder that maybe has a quarter left. So now you got to bring two 20-pounders out, one that's almost done and one that's full. So then you're almost always bringing two, you know, there's a stage there where you're bringing two of them out, you know, or you just have to exchange it because you're like, well, that won't get me through the day. So you're throwing money out. So that's one thing I hate about using the 20s. They get a lot of money out of them things. And then you can't exchange them either. Then you have to find a place that sells them.
I know we're getting towards the end of the gear stuff here, but you know, the other thing I've seen, I'm just curious about, and I don't know where to put it, but have you seen these live wells that are becoming more popular? These like ice live wells?
Yes. I've been thinking about pulling the trigger on one of those actually, but I think you should do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have to catch a fish first. I need to catch some fish to put in the live well. I don't know. I've seen some different variations and I'm curious. So I don't know. I might get one. All right. So Jay, today I think our topic was fishing with kids, right?
Absolutely. So it's good to get to the topic after about 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's an important topic, so we got to get to it.
So, you know, anything you can do with your kids, I think to introduce them to the outdoors and unplug them from electronics is really, really important in today's world. And I don't want to digress too much, but there's a lot of research now that's coming out about the mental health of kids and the amount of time they spend outdoors and in play and doing things non-electronic. So ice fishing with them definitely fits into that category. And there's a whole lot of things as parents we can do to like make sure kids never ever want to go fishing or be outdoors and how that experience feels like to them outside. So we came up, Jeff, I see that you came up with some things like kind of your top five to do or things to help kids enjoy the ice fishing experience. And so should we just trade back and forth like we've done before on this segment? Like what's the number one thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go first?
Yeah. So my number one is patience. I mean,
okay.
You got to be ready to have patience.
Yeah.
I mean, I love my kids, but you got to have patience.
I think that's important. My number one's hot chocolate.
Oh.
I think a big thermos of hot chocolate goes a long ways into saying, helping kids enjoy their ice fishing experience.
Look at that. Like you go.
So more tangible.
Yeah. You start out with your offense and I'm starting out with defense. So I feel like I like your number one already better than my number one.
Hot chocolate. Yeah. What's your number two?
So my number two is plan ahead. Like, don't think you're going to be out there trolling. Don't think this is going to be like going hardcore with your buddies. This is a different kind of fishing. So plan ahead. I think, you know, bring some games, bring some food, bring some snacks. It's not exactly like hot chocolate, but you know, just plan ahead. I mean, don't psych yourself up for the hardcore ice fishing when you're going with your kids.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And so my number two after hot chocolate really combines kind of your one and two is, and I've kind of taken this tactic deer hunting as well with my kids, is when you're ice fishing with your kids, your whole goal is to help them catch fish. So if you're the type of person that gets pissed off when you have to stop to what you're doing and assist them with whatever they're doing, then you shouldn't take your kids fishing because that will happen. That's my opinion. So you really need to have, it's really a mental thing, right? So number two is to be mentally prepared, mentally plan ahead that this especially when they're little. Now when they're older, you know, they need to figure it out. But when they're little, you know, that 10 and under, 12 and under, you know, you mentally, you need to prepare that your goal is to really help get them on fish. Because once they get hooked, you know, and they're into it, then they're a lot less work because they're going to do it all. But if you don't get them hooked and you're just kind of dragging along and they're not really taught what to do, then they're like really high maintenance out there.
So my number three, I guess, is kind of reiterating number two, but you will not be mobile. This is, if it's cold, unless it's really warm. I mean, if it's really warm, like 35, 40 degrees, you can be mobile. But if it's 15 or 10 degrees, like it was last weekend, you need to set up camp and you need to pick a spot and you need to fish there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would. So my number three is more around gear. So we spend a lot of money on gear, like good boots and good gloves and warm synthetic socks and all this stuff for ourselves. But, you know, if our kids haven't spent that kind of time outside, you know, are their boots good boots? Or are they Walmart specials that you picked up for $15 because they only have ever spent 10 minutes outside previously and they need something for recess? You know, do they have good synthetic socks?
Sure.
Are there gloves? How many pairs of gloves do you plan on bringing when they go ice fishing? I think, yep, what, a minimum of at least three pairs? One spare you tell them about, and then one you don't because you need to get back to the truck after they get wet. You know, so really, you know, especially with little kids, you know, they're always on their hands and knees and they're rolling around in the slush and they're doing all this stuff. And then they look at you and they go, well, I'm cold. Well, yeah, you're cold. You're soaking wet.
Yep.
So bringing a change of gloves, of even an extra pair of snow pants, yep, if you got them. You know, so you can swap them out after they get cold, because if they get cold, you're done. And understand they're going to get cold easier. So you really have to think about, is there, you know, maybe here, I got a suggestion. So put the gear on them that you want them to wear ice fishing. Okay. And then lock them out of the house and set a timer.
Just when they stop moving, then let them in, or what?
Well, when their little lips start turning blue and their little teeth are chattering, you know, then stop the timer and bring them in and warm them up and then send them back out. And because that will simulate them coming in and out of the ice house.
Testing.
And so then you get a better idea of like how long can they be outside.
Bring them in before they stop.
Right. It goes with planning ahead. It's about testing.
You don't want to leave them out there too long.
Okay, right, what's exactly, next? What do you exactly got next?
All right, my number four was, you will get tangles. You will be detangling.
Your wife will make you bring them in before.
They will
you
invent
want to
new ways to tangle. Even know how they do it. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So my number four is, they're going to steal your fish finder. If you have a flasher, they're going to have your flasher. So this is a great opportunity. I think with every challenge comes a great opportunity to buy a second flasher or a third flasher. Depends on how many kids you got, but everybody should have a flasher. So, you know, or a camera, the little fish camera. The kids like to watch TV anyway. They'll watch the fish on the camera. So maybe buy a camera, but something, you know, to keep those kids engaged. Now, I know not everybody, you know, most people don't have the money to just go out and buy all this stuff willy-nilly. I get that. But so I guess what I'm saying is, understand they're going to use your electronics and you should let them, because that's, you know, would you fish without it? Would you sit there all day without staring at it?
No. Well, last weekend I did.
Well, because you're irresponsible, but that's another story. You know, so don't expect them to do something that you don't want to do. I mean, you can do the hard ass thing with them and say tough crap, buy your own stuff. But the question is, what's your goal? If your goal is to get your kids engaged, then you're going to let them use all your best stuff. I mean, that's just what you're going to do. And then eventually you're going to encourage them to put a flasher on their Christmas list so you can go buy them one. And then when they're not with you, you can use it to make sure it's still working. So that works out in the end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So my final one was, you know, probably don't plan on fishing all day. You're talking like 4 hours or something like that. But, you know, be reasonable. I think if your expectations are right, you'll just, everybody will have a great time. And, you know, then the next day go out and hit it hardcore without your kids. But you know, just expect that, you know, it's not going to be as hardcore, but it'll still be fun. And I still think watching my kids catch fish is a lot of fun. You know, I mean, they think it's more fun than me sometimes. So if that's possible, expectations are right, you'll just, everybody will have a great time. And, you know, then the next day go out and hit it hardcore without your kids. But you know, just expect that, you know, it's not going to be as hardcore, but it'll still be fun. And I still think watching my kids catch fish is a lot of fun. You know, I mean, they think it's more fun than me sometimes. So if that's possible.
And I would agree with the last one as well. I would say that, you know, eventually they're going to tell you, I want to go. And it might be an hour after you get out there. And so you can try to delay that a little bit, but, you know, we all know our kids, and at some point you're just going to need to call it to take them home, or maybe have mom meet them or grandma or grandpa meet you,
right,
to take them. You know, plan for that ahead of time, that they're not going to want to stay out as long, and maybe deliver them back to the shoreline to somebody else. But the other thing you can do is understand that they're not going to sit there and stare at that hole all day like maybe you would. So run tip-ups. Bring a frisbee. Run tip-ups. You know, you can throw the frisbee around the ice, make snow angels, fly a drone, dance a jig, I don't know, have a karaoke contest, I don't care. But do something else outside and maybe vary that, you know. I know a lot of people, not a lot, but I have friends that'll do, you know, they'll set the shack up. My younger brother does this. He'll set the shack up just to keep, like, as a warming station, but they'll fish actually outside. Because then the kid could kind of run laps around the hole and watch the bobber. And when the bobber goes down, he can holler. The kid will run over and catch the fish, you know. But meanwhile, he's not sitting there in your 5x5 ice house with a heater running, and you're telling him to quit jumping around because he's going to trip over lines and end up face planted into a sunburst or whatever those things are. So, you know, fishing outside, if you can, is a good idea. So
I think my beer is getting kind of low. How about you, Jay?
Yeah, mine's out.
Yeah. So I think it's time for kind of a story, an ice fishing legend to end the show with.
So do you want me to tell the story today, or do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, no, I think you can tell the story. We're going to talk about the Trout Lake, right?
Yeah, I don't even know the name of that lake, but I'll tell the story. So we've got this buddy, Oli, and we've said his name before. You guys will get to know Oli kind of vicariously through us, and eventually we'll have him on the show if he plays his cards right. But he's a source of a lot of our good stories. And he, every year since we've known this guy, it's all about, yeah, I want to go to this place. And then you have to kind of start noodling down, why do you want to go there? And it's so usually because there's trout.
Usually trout, yep, for
sure. There's trout there, and he wants to catch trout through the ice, but I don't know. We've never successfully done that. But we're up at
yes, in 20 years.
Was it Savannah?
We have never caught a trout through the ice. We have tried.
Never.
We have tried, but we have never caught one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's Savannah we were at, weren't we? Up that way? State Park or Portage, whatever it is.
Savannah Portage, yep.
Anyway, long story short. So, yep. So there's a lake up there that's a trout lake, and Ole had scouted this thing out. And so we load up and we go down to where the road to this trout lake is, and we get going down this road and on snowmobiles, and we get all the way to this lake, and there's a sign that says fishing closed. And Ole's trying to convince us at this point that that's just like the beach is closed.
It's winter.
And we're like, well, it's winter. There's no beach. But no, they,
Jason, do you,
they don't
do you
mean
remember
that fishing's closed.
We had snowmobiles, right? We were on snowmobiles. And do you remember what we went around,
yeah,
around to get onto the road to get?
Oh, a barricade? Yeah. We went around a barricade.
Yes, we were on snowmobiles, and we were we were sure that that bear cave was from somebody else. I mean, so we went around it. Yeah,
that was to deter cars, probably not us.
Yes, yeah, not snowmobiles.
And we didn't
cars.
Fish, just for the record.
Yes, we did not fish. Yeah, yes, there was no fishing that happened.
We did not. But it took all three of us probably a good 20 minutes of convincing that this is really closed. I don't think this is open. I think it didn't even have a separate sign. Like the one sign said closed. We got closer to the lake and there was another sign that said trout fishing closed and there was dates.
Yes.
And we're like,
and we looked at each other and said, no, that's not for us, right?
Yeah, it was for us, but we didn't fish there, so no trout were harmed. But yeah, it was probably like 3 hours of excursion to do this, and we just, it was so much downtime, but it we got a good laugh out of it and still are to this day. But yeah, he only sees a trout and he wants to catch that thing so bad, even though he never has. But someday.
There's a happy ending to this. There's redemption on the end of this because the fishing regulations were changed a few years later. I don't remember how many years. It wasn't that year, but maybe it was the next year. I don't remember. But where they allowed trout fishing, they removed the sign. Do you remember that? Because we actually fished this lake.
They did. They changed the regulation because of him.
Yes, because of Ole. They call it Ole's Law.
I think he lobbied. Successfully lobbied for a change, and he's got some pull down to State House. So send all your concerns regarding sportsmen's rights to this show, and we'll forward them on to Ole, and he can represent you down to State House. Maybe we just launched his political career, and he doesn't even know it. Could be.
So yeah, we did fish this lake a couple years later, and we caught just as many fish as we did when we couldn't fish the lake, which was none. We wet lines.
The ice was kind of dicey on that lake, too, actually. It was a spring-fed lake, and so the ice was kind of dicey.
It was, and it was a year where there was tons of snow. Remember, there was tons of snow, so you'd drill a hole, and it was like the geyser would come up, and, you know, I mean, water everywhere. And
yeah, so. I remember that. Well, I suppose, now we have to, what are we talking about next week?
So, next week, as usual, Jason, I have absolutely nothing planned.
Well, I don't know that I do either, so that's not a good sign if I don't. Well, you know what? We've talked about walleye lures and walleye fishing. I think we should talk about panfish tactics next week.
Absolutely. I think that sounds good because, I mean, I love walleyes. I love fishing for them, but the reality is a lot of times there's not a lot of walleye lakes around, but there's a lot more panfish and pike lakes.
There are.
I think we should talk panfish.
And I want to pay particular attention to bobbers and spring bobbers next week.
Ah, spring bobbers. To spring bobber or not to spring bobber? That is the question.
And associated gadgets and gizmos.
Absolutely. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Jay, you got any parting words?
Stay safe out there and catch a lot of fish.
See you next time.